I thank you all for your welcome and your invitation. I'm going to read our second scripture lesson this morning. It's from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and your glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast, and I will praise you with songs of joy. I will lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. So I thank you so much for the invitation to be here with you. It's wonderful to be in a different space. Normally, I sit, well, at least for 8 years, I've been sitting in the third pew at the, you know, left of center at First Baptist, right beside my mother-in-law. When my father-in-law died 10 years ago, she said, you know, I feel like the one thing that's going to be hardest for me is sitting by myself in church. And so you're like, well, I guess you don't have to. We don't have to sit where we sat before. So we've been doing that for 8 years. And it's nice to come somewhere else, do something else, see something else, be with a different group of people. It's a wonderful gift. So I thank you for the invitation to be here in this sacred space with you. And I would invite you to join me in a prayer of openness. Matthew 18:20 assures us that where two or three, and we've got more than that, are gathered together, God is present with us. And so we remember that God is present here, and we ask that God would open our minds to remember God's presence with us, that God would open our ears to hear God's love for us, that God would open our mouths to speak God's love to the world, that God would open our hearts to receive God's wisdom and our hearts to extend God's wisdom, that God would open our hands to serve God generously, and that indeed God would open our whole selves to God's presence in our lives and in our world. Amen. So this morning's psalm selection was up there. It's an expression of the psalmist David's heart. Now, we all go through life experiencing those normal everyday moments, right? We make meals, we clean up from meals, we make another meal. I feel like that's a perpetual thing at our house, especially given that it's summer, and my kids, I think, at school, they have breakfast at home, and then they have snack mid-morning, and then they have lunch, and then they have snack when they get home, and they have supper. But during the summer, they have breakfast, snack, 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 then lunch, then snack, 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 then supper. And heaven forbid that we finish supper at, you know, 7:30, because we were doing something else, and bedtime's at 7:45, and they have to have a snack, because it's just my habit, mommy. So, we're involved in all those normal, everyday things, cleaning and sorting and letting go and choosing new, and those basic physical activities of our lives require physical nourishment. My children's require more physical nourishment than some people's do, I think. I think the basic activities of our spiritual lives also require spiritual practices that fuel and nourish our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives require that sort of back and forth dynamic with an engagement with God and an engagement with the community of faith that is around us. So the psalmist speaks words that could also be ours. This is a bit of a different translation. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such a hunger and a thirst for you, God, traveling across dry and weary deserts. Now, it's possible that as you look back over the last few weeks, months, maybe years of your life, you're aware of those spaces of exhaustion, of weariness, of bad news or hard things. Praying this psalm on a regular basis helps us to bring all of those feelings out into the light. We don't need to hide them. God's not afraid of them. We don't have to be afraid of them either. They're a real part of our humanness. One of the things I love about praying the Psalms is that they allow me to bring all my emotions out into the light of relationship with God. So I don't have to share them everywhere or sprinkle them on all the people around me, but I can bring them into the safe space of sacred relationship with God. I also love, we pray the Psalms, we pray through the Psalms every month at our house. So we read 5 a night most nights. We got some tricks around Psalm 113 and 119, which is forever long. But the practice of working through that cycle every month also gives me, I think, an insider view into the way Jesus' brain worked, because I know that Jesus prayed the Psalms. These are Jesus' prayers. These are the prayers Jesus learned as a little person. And I think that's a super bonus that we get to have them in our sort of canon, in our treasure toolbox of things to work with. So this psalm that talks about seeking and searching and thirsting and hungering for God brings up something of a paradox for me. Now, a paradox is one of those statements that might appear like a contradiction or might be opposed to common sense in the first place, but maybe it's true. The New Living Translation offers the first verse of this psalm as, I earnestly search for you, God. Now, we know through the whole witness of Scripture that there's nowhere that we can go that God is not, right? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths, you're there. If I go as far as the east is from the west, no, I didn't do that right. The east is from the west. I can't get away from you, God, right? And we also know from Romans that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, neither the present nor the future nor any powers. So why is it that sometimes we feel like God is far off and we need to search for God? It's a paradox to me. Now, if you were at my house yesterday, you would have seen an episode of what our culture has come to call something called hangry. Have any of you ever heard of hangry before? Have any of you ever felt hangry before? Sorry, that was a laugh that came out loud. In the morning yesterday, I had someone coming over to the house to work with them for spiritual direction, and so the rest of my family hurriedly went through the process of breakfast. Some of them didn't actually eat breakfast, and they were gone for a few hours, and when they came back around lunchtime, there was hangriness in full force. And so the process of going to offer food to my children did not work well. Now, they do apparently like to eat 18 times before lunch, but if it's not the right thing and they're already super hungry and angry, oh my goodness, there were doors slammed and things said that I wish hadn't been said. And I think there are physical things in our body that happen that impact our spirituality, right? So there can be times where we feel super distant from God because of what's going on in our physical bodies. And we feel that soul thirst for God. Our whole body longs for God. And maybe it's that we're physically hungry. Maybe it's that we're spiritually hungry. But I think our physical self-care has a big impact on our ability to connect well with God. So maybe you find yourself in a spot where you think you're feeling empty and dry and without God's physical presence, and maybe at that time you can start by asking some physical questions. Perhaps if I feel a headache coming on, I might wonder, am I hungry or tired or exhausted? Maybe I might want to grab a snack, not 18 before lunch, but one, or take a power nap for 15 minutes. And if I'm really tired, I might find that that nap lasts an extra long time. And once we've attended to our basic human physical needs, the psalmist gives us a next step that I believe makes a difference every time. The psalmist says, "So here I am in the place of worship with my eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory, in your generous love. I'm really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you." The psalmist sends us to offer gratitude and to connect into the community of faith. So no matter what our failings, no matter what the challenges are in our lives, we're invited to offer God our worship and our thanks, opening our eyes wide, drinking deep, thirst-quenching draughts of God's strength and glory, nourishing ourselves with the truth of God's generous love. And we do that as a group here today, but I encourage you to find ways to do that every day, and maybe 18 times before lunch, like my kids would do with snack. For me, I would say, based on my own experiences and on my observation of others, we can't do this alone. We can't find ways to be grateful and thankful to God in the midst of hard things by ourselves. We need companions on the journey with us. Attending to the stuff of our everyday lives and finding in them ways to praise God is not a skill that we can learn without mentors. We need companions and mentors, spiritual friends, to walk along with us as we take one tiny step and another to find our way through the hard things and name them or name in them God's provision for us. It's not doable alone. Or at least in my life, it hasn't been doable alone. When I try to do it by myself, I end up speaking things that cause chaos in my life, or speaking things that are not a blessing or a praise of God. Now, certainly there are some moments where we need to put in the one-on-one work that connects us to God, right? We are loved already, and there's nothing that we can do to change Jesus' love for us. But sometimes I need to put in some extra time reading scripture. I understand you've done some work writing out scripture and dialoguing that together. I think those are beautiful spiritual practices that help us every day. So we do those things. But please, 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 if you find yourself in a spot where you're not able to do that today, could you see that as the Spirit waving a flag and begging you to connect with someone in community? To connect with a companion, someone who's on the same journey. Take a moment of silence and listen as you are guided by God's Spirit to call someone, or if you're a texter, to text someone, so that together we can all make it. We are designed to come back to balance in our topsy-turvy world through the gift of thanksgiving to God, but we're designed to do it in the context of a community. Our God, Father, Son, and life-giving Spirit, is community. We're called to be part of community also. Now, when we step into community, both with God and with one another, and we find our way to gratitude, over time, God will lead us to an experience of feeling as though we're blessed beyond measure. This is not instant coffee. Coffee drinkers who enjoy coffee will tell you that instant coffee is not nice. We don't want instant coffee. We want God's fullest, richest, deepest blessings. And they take time. Earnestly seeking God, learning to be thankful in all situations, finding ourselves in spaces of naming God's blessings to us as exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or imagine, is not quick work. But it is worth it. Now, the psalmist paints a picture like this for us of the abundance. And I love this particular poet. I think of him as a poet. Poet's way of expressing these words from the last few verses of Psalm 63. And you can tell by my enjoyment of them that I'm not a vegetarian. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection. Because you've always stood up for me, I'm free to run and play. I hold on to you for dear life, and you hold me as steady as a post. Now, as often happens when I'm preparing to speak in a situation like this, I get some words ready, and then the Spirit puts me in situations where I can test them. So would it surprise you to know that in the midnight hours last night, I was awake? If I'm sleepless at 3 o'clock until 5:30, do I spend the hours in grateful reflection? Partly I do. Partly for me, I have this wonderful app on my phone that will read scripture to me, and that really helps me to get calm in the middle of the night and not turn my brain on fast forward. So I love that. That's a tool I use on a regular basis. Listen to the Psalms over and over again in the night. So from a parched and weary land where there's no water, that's the image at the beginning of this psalm, to this place of abundance and satisfaction where gravy isn't an extra, you have to ask for it, just comes. There is provision for our physical needs demonstrated in this psalm. There's peace and rest and the skills to turn midnight wakings into spaces of praise. Now, last week on Monday, I was at work at the hospital, and my grandpa's in a nursing home in Assiniboia. And the nursing home called twice before 8:30 in the morning to say, really, you've got to get the family together, it's time. And so I made the arrangements I needed to make here, and we raced down to Assiniboia and spent the day praying the Psalms with my grandpa. I started reciting Psalm 23, and he hadn't spoken any words. Actually, he had. He greeted us when we came in. Oh, hi, Jenny. As is sort of the family tradition in our family, the oldest grandchild's name is hard to say. And so my great-grandmother couldn't call me Jennifer. She called me Genesis always. And my grandfather calls my son, oldest son, Adoniram, sometimes he gets it right, but he greeted us all by name and told us he loved us, but then sort of settled back into this very quiet, slow breathing. But when I started reciting Psalm 23, he's known this from a child, and I had to adjust and go back to the King James Version, which I haven't used in many years. But that's where Grandpa was. He had that, and he had all the parts. So we recited Psalm 23 and prayed for him and just were together. At some point, he told me that he could see a beautiful dark-haired woman in the room, and it wasn't me. And I said, oh, what does she look like? Oh, she looks like Patsy Cline. So we sang a little Patsy Cline for a while and carried on. And the next day I had a funeral here in Regina that I had to come back for. So I left my family there and drove back to Regina and led a funeral and came back to the nursing home. And from the hall at the outside door, I could hear, breathe on me, breath of God. The spirit is so good, right? Like I couldn't even believe that we sang that song this morning. So I walked in and my family told me the story. My husband, my two kids, my dad were sitting there with my grandpa singing hymns. And they said that earlier in the afternoon, grandpa had been sort of repeating hummingly the same phrase or the same sounds over and over again, but they couldn't understand what. And finally, after about an hour, they got it. He was repeating the one line from the hymn, I need thee every hour, O gracious Lord. And when they finally got it, they pulled out, you know, the lyrics and they started singing and they sang through, I need thee every hour. And then Grandpa could cue them on the other things he wanted to sing. For years, he's been telling me his favorite hymns and the things he wants at his funeral because he's 98 now and he is so ready to be fully in the presence of Jesus. And they sang and they sang and they sang. And when I came in, they were in the middle of singing and we sang some more. And the nurses told us how touched they were to hear us singing. And the other residents would come and pull in the hallway and just sing along for a while and then carry on back. And it was a beautiful experience that allowed my grandfather to use the spiritual practices he's carried through his life to cue us as a family about the best ways for us to support him in these last days and weeks as he moves towards that final transition to the heavenlies. And for me, it was a vivid, real-life example of what happens in Psalm 63, right? Where there's this repeated feeling of dryness, of parchedness, that then moved into this beautiful, connected space that we could share together. And I can only say thank you to God for it. For many centuries, the Psalms have been a huge part of the everyday life of faithful people. And I love the stories of the ways that people have of weaving the Psalms into their everyday lives. I love the way the Psalms can help us move from feeling like everything is fine and orderly to, oh my goodness, I'm in the topsy-turvy of everyday life. And now God has brought me back to a sense, or brought me to a new sense of life and fullness and wholeness and peace. So while the Psalms do give us permission to feel whatever we feel, to bring our whole selves and our various experiences into God's presence, they also help us to say thank you to God. And they help us to find a skilled mentor or a whole family of people to figure out what it is that we're trying to communicate to them. They help us to move from feeling like we're alone in a dry and weary land to being able to see where God is at work, feeling as though we are blessed with an inheritance of love, as the Ephesians passage said to us today, that is higher and wider and deeper and stronger than we ever imagined possible. So we have the opportunity to sing again, to shout and sing our praise to God. And if you're in a space today where that represents how you feel, your current reality, then sing out with a full heart. And if instead it represents your desire, your firm hope, rather than your current feelings, sing out just as strongly. Because if you stand in a place of need, there's no better place to stand than in community, praising God as long as you live and lifting up your hands in prayer. I'd invite the music team to come.